ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
At Columbia University in the heart of New York City late one evening this week, riot police stormed. Climbing a ladder, they entered a uni hall via a window to arrest students who'd for weeks been camping out at the campus to protest against the war in Gaza. Now, the pro-Palestinian movement that's seen more than 1,000 students arrested across the US has landed here. Today, we look at the encampments popping up at campuses across the country with Tim Dean from the Ethics Centre. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
This is the New York City Police Department. You have been warned as per City College to leave the campus. If you refuse to leave, you may be placed under arrest.
Tim, this week we've seen police in riot gear moving in to arrest pro-Palestinian demonstrators at universities across the United States, starting, of course, with Columbia University in New York City.
Well, dozens of police officers in riot gear have entered Columbia University.
NYPD, KKK, IOF, you're all the same!
Incredible scenes to watch, really.
Yeah, it's been really troubling to see whenever a protest where people are trying to express what they believe is a really legitimately held view, they're trying to speak out against injustice, whenever that tips over into violence, whether that's initiated by the protesters or whether that's initiated by a response or from the government or the police, it always is disappointing to see things tip over into physical forms of expression.
I presume the head of Columbia University had a pretty tough task here as the encampments at the university grew and Jewish students and staff began feeling really unsafe.
Well, this is one of the really difficult things, particularly with protests like this. So any kind of dehumanizing speech, any kind of incitement to violence, any kind of anti-Semitism or Islamophobia or racism ought to be quite legitimately rejected. However, there can be different elements within a protest where some are choosing to step over, use their voice to call out and be anti-Semitic or to be racist, and they then taint that movement, and it becomes very difficult for those who have a legitimate, justified argument behind their particular protest to disentangle themselves from more radical elements.
That's what's unfolded in the United States. So now let's turn here, because in solidarity with the students in America, at six campuses across Australia, encampments have begun popping up. They started to erect these tents last week at the University of Sydney. They're at the University of Melbourne, at the ANU in Queensland and in Perth.
I'm here today. I've been a quite long-term Palestine activist. I'm here to protest against the fact that 15,000 children have now been killed in the Gaza Strip with weapons which are developed by a company which has ties to our institution.
We're asking for our own university to disclose their full ties with weapons companies, and we want them to divest from them immediately. Like, we think that our education should not be for war and destruction, but it should be, obviously, for learning.
It's not surprising, is it, I suppose, that a similar action has now begun here, given what we're seeing in the United States.
Well, yes, I think this is the nature of protest. We saw that during things like the Me Too movement. We saw that during Black Lives Matter movements. So this is what we're seeing right now. The key is, how do these different groups express themselves? Is there some kind of coherence in the arguments that are being put forward? And what kinds of responses are different countries going to put forward to the protesters in their jurisdictions?
Yes, and how the universities are going to deal with it. Mark Scott, the Vice Chancellor of the University of Sydney, has told the Sydney Morning Herald that disciplinary action has been taken against students accused of misbehaviour like graffiti, disrupting classes, harassing staff, but he says there hasn't been any violence here yet. We shouldn't assume, for starters, what's happened in the US is necessarily going to happen here.
Well, that's right. The situation in the US is a little different to that in Australia. There's a longer history in the US of support for Israel, but there's a generational change in attitude. So younger people tend to be more skeptical of that kind of support. There's also sometimes some kind of politicization of these issues in the US because it's so polarized over there. Things are not quite as polarized in Australia. Our social media and our media landscape is not quite as fractured and fractious as it is in the US. Also, the policing is a big variable. In the US, there's a long history of the police reacting with a lot of force. We don't have that culture in Australia. Our policing tends to be a little more reserved. Of course, there are lots of instances of police overstepping as well. But I think we've already seen that in Australia with the protests in universities, the vice chancellors have been very careful to call out individual cases of people overstepping the line and distinguishing that from the general presence of the protesters on campus, even if the protesters are disruptive.
There is concern already that Jewish students are being harassed, and some students at the Australian National University say they also do feel threatened by this.
They're occupying space on campus, making it extremely uncomfortable for Jewish students to go through because of some of the signage they have on these campuses. They've got stuff calling for, you know, from the river to the sea, widely acknowledged to be anti-Semitic, calling for intifada, intifada.
So that's how some Jewish students are feeling, but of course, the protesters, the large majority of them, including Dina, who's in Melbourne, say they're there peacefully. It's a completely peaceful protest.
We have so many Jewish members here. They will tell you it is a welcoming space. We're not here with being confrontational. The camp, we pretty much stay on our camp lawns. We're not here, you know, antagonizing and coming forward to students and, you know, confronting them. We've never been confrontational. We are peacefully protesting.
I just want to put to you this because the Group of Eight, which actually represents the top universities in the country, says it's the right to uphold principles of academic freedom and freedom of speech of every university. That's the core of universities, regardless of how uncomfortable it may be. But we're not talking about being uncomfortable, are we, if people feel threatened?
Well, yeah, there's a big difference between the kinds of speech that can be challenging of people's assumptions, can be challenging of their beliefs, can be critical of their views. There's a big difference between that and speech that is inciting violence or that is dehumanizing or is anti-Semitic. It's very, very important to make sure that that speech stays on track, that it is continues to be good faith, and anything that tips over into threats and harassment can't be allowed. Yeah. It's a little complicated when an individual sees, for example, a pro-Palestinian protest. How do they interpret it? If they are Jewish, they may perceive that protest in a very different way. That can cause them to feel unsafe, even if they haven't had any direct harassment or direct attacks upon them. That's a more difficult thing for a university to navigate in terms of what does it mean to be safe. Someone can feel unsafe even if they're not unsafe, and their feelings still need to be validated. They still need to be made to feel safe. But then we have a dilemma. How do we trade off? How do we balance that need for people to feel safe against a need for people to be able to make legitimate political expression? That's a difficult challenge, and many philosophers have discussed this kind of challenge, and there's no one simple answer to that problem.
Let me put an example to you, because student Beatrice Tucker from the ANU, one of the protesters there, she went on ABC Radio and the host was really keen to know more about her views. whether she condemned the actions of Hamas.
Surely, if you're going to protest against that, you've also got to send a message to Hamas to release the hostages, don't you?
Well, I actually say that Hamas deserve our unconditional support, not because I agree with their strategy. Absolutely. Not because I agree with their strategy. Complete disagreements with that. But the situation at hand is, if you have no hope, if you are sanctioned every day of your life, if you're told you're not allowed to drive down a road because somebody who is Israeli gets to have preference and you sit there for 12 hours, the reality of life in Palestine...
But that can't justify what they did in October last year.
Nothing can justify what has been happening to the Palestinian people for 75 years, right? And essentially,
should that be of concern for the university heads?
Well, sure. I think if somebody expresses a view like that, they need to have a really good reason. They have to have a really good justification. And I think it's very difficult to justify defending, attacking and murdering civilians. However, there's a difference between justifying, which I think in a situation like this is unjustifiable, and giving a reason, an explanation for why that might have happened. So I think this is where it becomes complicated in terms of the discourse. When people also feel like they can't criticize their own side because criticizing some problematic aspects, some unjustifiable aspects of their own side might sometimes be seen as being disloyal towards the justifiable aspects of their own side.
Yeah, it's a really tricky path for the heads of universities here and in the United States, of course. So, Tim, what should the universities be doing? What should they be aiming to do? Is it to de-escalate the protest, to try and limit the growth of these encampments at universities across Australia? Should they be making concessions to the protesters? Should they be trying to get rid of these encampments?
Well, look, I think from an ethical point of view, it's really important to look at what protest is and what it's for and where it's legitimate and to allow it to be expressed in a legitimate way. That ethical form of protest is defensible and universities ought to be able to find space and room for that. Now, tactically, by constraining the protesters, by putting pressure on them and shrinking them, that can incite more pressure from the protesters to expand. That can then cause self-defense, which can tip over into violence. If the protest becomes problematic, if there's property damage, if there's violence, if there's dehumanizing speech or anti-Semitism, for example, then the universities must act against that. But that doesn't necessarily mean acting against the entire group of protesters.
It's tricky, isn't it, to ensure free speech, that all viewpoints are heard, but essentially that all students and staff at these universities feel comfortable, safe and protected.
Absolutely. That safety is incredibly important. I think another thing to engender safety is for universities to take this as an opportunity to try to build bridges between communities, to try to engage good faith discourse, to try to allow the different sides to listen and be heard by each other. There's a lot that we can do to enable ethical protest to unfold in a way that is safe, in a way that allows people to express themselves in good faith without causing harm or violence.
Tim Dean is the Senior Philosopher at the Ethics Centre. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald with audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.